Welcome back to the Modern Mastery Podcast, where we help you optimize your human experience by deconstructing focus, one-person businesses, and lifestyle design. This is the Wednesday lifestyle design segment of the podcast with my good friend and business partner, Joey. On this segment, we answer your questions from Twitter, pick apart silly arguments we see on the internet, and discuss how to craft a focused, fulfilling, and high-energy lifestyle. If you are a growth-minded individual that has skills, interests, or passions, have tried to turn them into a source of income but struggle to make it sustainable and predictable, consider joining Modern Mastery HQ, where you can copy and paste our hundreds of processes, strategies, and systems into your one-person business while working 4 hours or less per day. We've packaged up the information from myself, a marketing consultant, and Joey, a performance consultant, into proven processes for starting and growing your business as a coach, freelancer, digital product creator, content creator, or online educator while becoming a laser-focused machine. We offer a seemingly outrageous $50,000 guarantee because we are that confident in our teachings. If you want to build a one-person business, design your perfect lifestyle, and live like you are supposed to, go to join.modernmastery.co/podcast to get your first month for $5. Or if you want to skip all of the do-it-yourself stuff and join an intensive 6-month program that guarantees business and personal success, we also have the Mastery Program. You can apply for the next cohort at join.modernmastery.co/program. Links to both of those will be in the show notes. And last but not least, I have a few favors to ask that cost a whopping $0. So if you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe or follow. It's one button click away and it helps support the growth of this podcast. 2, leave a rating letting us know what you thought. 3, you can tag us at Modern Mastery on Twitter or at Modern Mastery HQ on Instagram with a link to this episode and some kind words, or just some kind words. It always helps. And if you do all 3, send us a DM and we have something special for you in return. So without further ado, let's dive right into this episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast. We are live and we are here on the Modern Mastery Podcast with myself, Dan Coe. What's up? And we're also here with Joey, last name to be determined. Welcome, Joey. Indeed. How are you doing?
That I'm doing good. That may be changing here soon. And when I say may, it definitely will be. So keep an eye out for that. Should be probably the next episode is when that's going to be announced. So pretty hype.
Damn. So Joey Doughty will be no longer. But I know it's what it's going to be, and I know it means much more to Joey. We'll probably talk about it, but I think it's just sick. I think it's a sick name. So, Joey, how are you doing? How's your week been?
I'm doing good. Doing good. So last weekend was the first weekend in a while where I wasn't really doing a whole lot, which, you know, normally I like being productive, but it was good. You know, I'd been spending way too much time out with people, which is something that we're going to touch on today. It's actually pretty relevant. But, yeah, chilled. Taylor Swift's new Taylor's Version album came out, and the 15-minute short film is pretty disturbing. So she definitely achieved her mission with that one. Well, it's about, for the 2.5 people that care, it's about this 29-year-old who's dating a 20-year-old, which normally that kind of age gap isn't really a big deal, but there's a big gulf of maturity there. So, like, the actress that Taylor got to play her in this short film looks like she's 15. So it's really, like, she's actually 19, but it's just really creepy. So, other than that, it was chill. How are you?
Jeez. That's weird. I don't know if I want to watch it, but maybe I'll check it out. I'm doing absolutely fucking amazing. I haven't really updated everyone yet because, like, the one email, the one podcast I did about, like, putting my foot down, like, just being tired of what we're going to talk about today, all of this comes together. But I've been on my shit. Nutrition's been on point. I've been cutting down. I know I mentioned my goals a few times on the podcast about getting down to 185. I'm dropping weight a little too quickly. Like yesterday, made the conscious decision to have a refeed just because I was losing weight too quickly. Like two pounds a week was my like max, and that's still a bit too much for me because I want to do it correctly. So 1.5 pounds a week was like the sweet spot, but right like yesterday I hit an average of 2.1 pounds lost per week. So it's like, okay, I need to change something before I start going down too quick. And so went out yesterday, got some sushi, all you can eat sushi. I didn't engorge. Like since I've been eating less, I get full really quickly, but I think that's, I don't know. I feel kind of weird and sick today. It could be a few different things. It's just in my throat. Yeah. It's not bad at all, but it's really weird. So nutrition's been on point. I haven't had any form of processed food aside from the sushi, but that's not even processed food. I feel like that was actually a good choice to go there. I've been implementing running and sprinting. Last week it was 3 days that week. This week I'm going to do it 4 days a week. So I'm doing just like whatever I feel like doing, like getting into the groove of actually running because my cardio is ass. And as I get better with that, that should kind of auto-regulate the cut or me losing weight, because the more intense it gets, the longer I can run for week after week, that's what's going to happen. Like as I lose weight, I'm going to either have to eat less or increase my energy expenditure more. So getting into that will help. And then that maintaining that habit will also help me stay lean and conditioned, which is one of my goals. Like if I don't like it, if I don't like sitting around 185, 190, like if I just feel terrible because I'm too lean, then whatever, I learned something and I can increase how much I eat, but hopefully still maintain the running habit. Because right now, like I changed the tagline of like a lot of things have been coming together for us, both in terms of like our individual philosophies and the philosophy of Modern Mastery. Yep. So the tagline for Modern Mastery now is optimizing the human experience. And so Joey's been learning a lot about flow, optimal experience, other things like that. My goal with this for the entirety of everything and what we can kind of get into as we discuss alcohol is like I've always had the vision of mastering every area of my life, health included. Health has been a big one forever, and I never realized the negative impacts that alcohol was having on me, even though it was few and far between. It wasn't like how a lot of people drink. It was actually very few and far between, and like it was just holding me back. And what do you know, like once I decided to just like stop going out for a specific amount of time, still don't know if it's going to be the entire time. Like I'm juggling both in my head, but not stressing out about it too much. It's nice. It's like I can go full focus on goals, which we'll talk about all of this soon.
Yep.
So first thing we're diving into, Joey is going to introduce us to an overview of the neurochemistry behind alcohol. Joey, take the stage.
So two big neurochemicals that I want to talk about in relationship to alcohol are GABA and dopamine. So starting with GABA, G-A-B-A, it's a abbreviation for a much more complicated name, but GABA is a inhibitory neurochemical. So if you have GABA, then you're going to feel inhibited, you're going to feel less excited, probably more chill and relaxed. Well, alcohol can mimic the molecule of GABA, and it can bind to GABA receptors, which is why typically when you drink, you feel inhibited. You feel more relaxed. You don't feel as stressed anymore. That's why many people drink to relax or de-stress or even fall asleep, which is not a good idea, especially the last one, and we'll get into that a bit later. Now, what can happen in some cases with receptors for neurochemicals is if there's a lot consistently present in the system, then the nervous system will deregulate the number of receptors, so you have less receptors. Then, when you don't have a lot of alcohol in your system, say you drink fairly often and then you go cold turkey, you're not going to have enough GABA, and your system is going to be very excited. So that's why a common side effect of essentially alcohol withdrawal is anxiety and nervousness and even physical manifestations such as shaking. And this can, depending on how much the person was drinking and how suddenly they quit, this can be pretty severe and lead to seizures and stuff like that. So that's one side of it. In less extreme cases, this is why after a night of binge drinking, you just feel really anxious and you're like, oh shit, what did I do last night? What did I say? I said the wrong thing. Then the other one is dopamine. So dopamine is incredibly complex, both itself and its relationship to other neurochemicals. And it's also widely misunderstood. It's taken me a while to really understand it well, but essentially dopamine is released when you do something that is your body or your brain sees as being a good thing. So if you take a drink or if you watch porn or eat some good food or hang out with people that you like, play video games, scroll through social media, those are all involving dopamine. Well, dopamine essentially tells your brain, hey, this is good, let's do this again. So you can start to see how if you have these things that you're doing that cause the release of a lot of dopamine consistently, you know, fairly frequently, then that's going to be telling your brain, hey, let's keep doing this thing. And so you're not really going to want to do much else. And that's something that I had experienced off and on since I started on social media, because, you know, when you build a business on social media, you feel like you have to use social media a lot. So you're scrolling on social media because you feel like it's basically work, but it's still having those interactions with dopamine. And therefore you get to the point where you only really want to use social media and you don't really want to do anything else, right? It's like your motivation to do most other things plummets. Again, this is the thing that people who are addicted to porn experience. Alcohol, food, video games. When I was a teenager, I was addicted to World of Warcraft. I did nothing else in my life, basically, other than hang out with my mom and my cat and sleep and eat. That was it. So, if you're constantly drinking, then you're pretty much only going to want to drink more. And one other note on that is your brain makes associations as well. So, say, speaking from experience a few years ago, if you're going to a soccer game, you know, you have a local soccer team and you go most of the time because their tickets are cheap because nobody in the South cares about soccer. Well, if you go and you go and you drink a lot, there's going to be a big dopamine release and your brain's going to associate sports event with alcohol, right? Well, if you say, okay, I recognize that this is a bad thing and I'm going to drink less, or I'm not going to drink at all. I'm just going to go to the game and I'm going to try to have a good time without drinking at all. That is going to feel so incredibly weird. Again, speaking from experience here, that's going to feel so weird and you're just going to be like uneasy because there's a piece of the experience missing and you're not going to enjoy it nearly as much, most likely, the first time. Even if you're there with people or your team wins or whatever, if your team buzz badly, it's going to hurt even more. But you're not going to have as much fun because you're missing part of that association. Now, the good news there is everything that I just talked about can heal over time. If you're a heavy drinker or you know someone who's a heavy drinker, I would steer them away from quitting cold turkey because, again, it can have bad effects. You want to try to taper it down, ideally. Same thing for caffeine. You know, I talk about caffeine off and on and reducing your intake of caffeine. But with alcohol, you really want to try to taper it down if you're a really heavy drinker. If you're just an occasional drinker, then you're probably fine just saying, okay, I'm not going to drink like you're doing right now, where you haven't drank in a while. You're going to be fine. And you're not really going to experience any issues. But what you'll notice is over time, when you haven't overconsumed alcohol for a while, these negative effects I just talked about begin to heal. Your brain and your body are amazing and they can heal themselves and go back to pretty much normal. So you're going to notice, hey, sports are fun again. Like, you know, I went to a NASCAR race a couple weeks ago and I didn't drink at all and I had a good time. My heart rate went up to like 150 because I was so into it.
Larson.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's bad for you in extremely high doses.
Yeah.
We can dive more into why as we go.
For sure. One thing you brought up there is, well, I'll talk about this story soon in like my experience with trying to moderate this. And the thing you mentioned right there about the experience missing something, mm-hmm. I feel like that's exactly what happened. I attributed it, like, if you're listening to this and you listen to the other podcast or you saw the email of my trip to Seattle, it's like I attributed the problem to my lack of self-control, which that partially plays a role. But now thinking about this, it's like, yeah, something's missing there. Like, it's not as fun because you're used to it being fun because you were drinking. And so now I really like that because now I'm aware of that. And what I plan on doing for New Year's, because I like going to festivals, like EDM is my favorite genre of music, but there's negative associations with it, right? Like, it's you either go and you drink, or you go and you pop Molly, or you go and you take LSD. And I don't want to necessarily do any of those things. I want to go and have fun and just be able to listen to the music and have a good time, but also be able to like interact with the people there, because the people there is a huge part of it, right? And if they're drinking or they're on some fucking crazy drugs, then it's like, okay, how am I going to have a good time? And now there's a lot of things that play into this, which I guarantee we will dive into in other podcasts, like finding enjoyment in everyday situations through gamification. This could be a perfect time for us to talk through that, Joey. But that's what I'm going to do for New Year's. I've always gone to the same festival. We're going to one in Texas this year, and I want to be able to go and test myself and have a good time sober. And now that I'm aware of, like, oh, the association with alcohol and going to these festivals is what made it fun for me, I still like the music, so I need to change my focus and go into it with the mindset of I'm going to have a good time regardless of whether I'm drinking or not. And so I'll report back then when that actually happens. But let's talk about the problems with alcohol, because alcohol is such a big thing across the world. It's cultural at this point. It's like a celebratory thing. It's a way to loosen up and have fun. It's people call it liquid confidence. That gets in people's heads. That's good marketing. And there are some downsides. And one that I do not like, because I'm health conscious and I go to the gym all the time, is that it inhibits MPS, muscle protein synthesis. So you can like navigate your way around this if you want to and research it further. But the main thing is, like, if you train and you need to recover and you want to build muscle, but MPS, what builds muscle, is inhibited, you're not going to build muscle, or you're not going to build as much muscle. Don't know the exact degree, but that alone is a turnoff for me. And like, that's one of the reasons why I didn't drink extremely often to begin with, is because I just know it's there and it's not conducive to the goals I want pertaining to my body. So that's one.
I just want to make something really clear related to that before I forget. So alcohol is a toxin. First and foremost, like, good stuff, bad stuff. You know, I have a barrel with quality bourbon in it, and I enjoy bourbon from time to time. But alcohol is toxic to your brain and body. So what happens related to what you just talked about is when you drink alcohol, your body prioritizes digesting that first. Well, what that means is if you eat a big meal and then you drink a bunch of alcohol on top of it, that's going to fuck up your digestion because your body's going to be like, oh, we got to get this stuff through so we can work on the alcohol. And again, you know, that right there is going to impact protein synthesis because you're not going to have digested that steak or whatever as thoroughly. Mm-hmm. So it's important to give yourself a buffer between like your protein shake or your shrimp or like whatever you're eating for protein after the gym. It's important to give yourself a buffer, like digest first before you drink anything.
Right. I like it. And the next thing is anxiety and mental clarity. So it's funny because everything's coming together now. I would say like maybe 4 or 5 months ago, around then, I made a video about having anxiety. I attributed it to all this other shit except for alcohol. Everything except for alcohol. And it happened, it was like maybe a week after I went to a festival and I drank a lot. And I didn't make that connection, and I didn't want to make that connection of it being alcohol. And now it's like, yeah, that was the fucking reason. And when I posted something on Twitter about going all in and like not drinking until I hit my goals, and possibly not even after that. Who knows? Still up in there. But everyone was talking about how it causes anxiety for a few days, possibly even more. So that's one big thing, is just anxiety isn't good. It's going to be very hard to function as you normally would when you're very anxious. It just creates thoughts upon thoughts, and you get stuck in your head. You overthink, you overcomplicate. You're not focused. You're not performing at an optimal level. And if you're an entrepreneur or even at work, like, you're not going to be able to do your best work and make progress. And the next thing, which is even bigger for me, and anxiety plays a role in this, is mental clarity, right? Both Joey and I's business runs on mental clarity. Our ability to do this podcast to a great level, preferably, is mental clarity. Our writing, mental clarity. Just being able to communicate with people in public, mental clarity. Being able to articulate your ideas, being able to have ideas, good ideas. Everything that goes along with that, alcohol inhibits. And I've noticed the effects of that last for a week or two at times. Like, if I drink heavy at a festival, like, I recover and feel better maybe after a day, but then my brain is still foggy for like a week. And then if you're doing this every week, you're not even close to doing what you should be able to do to run your business well. And that one, when I became aware of it, is a huge, it's not conducive to my goals at all. It's like, I want to be able to produce top fucking quality content, top quality podcasts, things that require brain power. And if I'm drinking every weekend, even if I have like some mental clarity closing in on Thursday and Friday, still, that's a huge like takeaway from what I'm trying to do. So at that point, it pops into my mind of, okay, what's of more importance, my mental clarity or being able to have fun, quote unquote, on the weekend, right? When there are other ways to have fun, as we just discussed, through the awareness of it not being fun because you associate it with alcohol, right? And it's a thing that it's a habit. It becomes like a natural, like, okay, it's time to celebrate. It's time to, I mean, it's in a lot of cases, it's not even celebration, right? Alcohol is just an excuse nowadays to drink alcohol. It's like, okay, we're going out. It's Saturday. We're going to go drink. Oh, it's Friday night. We're going to go drink. Oh, thirsty Thursday. Yep. We're going to go drink. Wednesday, maybe I'll have like a glass of wine with Wine Wednesday, you know, I'll have a glass of wine, sit down, watch TV. Oh, Tuesday. I don't know what the fuck is going on Tuesday, but let's drink, right? So it's like, it's an excuse no matter what it is. It's a one-time thing, but then that one-time thing, it becomes like a one-time thing every week, or a one-time thing 5 days a week. And then before you know it, you're commenting on someone's Twitter, aka mine, saying that you're struggling with two beers turning into 14 every day of the week. And it's like, okay, this can go very deep if you are not conscious of this. And that is the reason we are making this podcast today, is to just make you aware of what this shit could turn into and what we want to do on top of that. So, anything to say about mental clarity and anxiety, Brother Joey?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not afraid to admit that I've been there a couple times in my life. I mean, as I've talked about before, I went through a period in 2019 after I graduated college where I was pretty unhappy with how my life had turned out because I hated my career and binge drank really bad, binge ate super bad, regained some weight, and that caused me a lot of anxiety, mental clarity issues, and stuff like that. And another thing is, you know, all throughout my life, I've always had this thing where it's like, okay, I have a really high tolerance to alcohol. Part of that is because I'm just a bigger guy. Part of that's because I'm somebody who's pretty in my head. I'm very extroverted and I love being around people. Like, I love going out and I'll talk if somebody's talking to me, but I'm really, it's in my head, very interoceptive, as Andrew Huberman would put it. So I'm not as affected by alcohol to a point. So that has led me many times to accidentally getting more inebriated than I meant to, drinking more than I intended or I should. Because if you program yourself to think, oh, I have a really high tolerance, I can get away with this, there, you basically stop thinking about the consequences. And that's what I realized about myself, was it wasn't I was making a conscious decision or a drunk decision to drink more. It was simply that I was forgetting about the consequences. You know, potential consequences of hurting my body, hurting my brain, about the brain fog the next day, hurting relationships, drunk driving even, like, you know.
Damn.
You just don't think about that kind of thing when you've gotten to the point where, well, nothing's going to happen, it's just one more. And yeah, that relates back to what you were saying about, like, oh, well, it's just this day, like, I'm just seeing this person I haven't seen in a long time, and then it's just like a couple of drinks tonight, and then that turns into every day, and then you respect each drink less, and you don't think that there's any consequences to it, and then every drink in isolation may not seem like it really matters, but each drink is contextual based on how much you've had before and what you have going on that night or the next day, what kind of mood you're in. There's so much context to it. So the way out, if you're into that situation, is to be intentional and go into every social situation basically planning out, like, okay, these are my limits, you know? And you can tell people. Like, if you think about telling someone, hey, you know, I'm cutting back, for whatever reason, you can say it's for clarity or calories or cost or whatever. You can give whatever reason you want, but you could just say, hey, I'm cutting back, just remind me if I forget. If that makes you ashamed, you have a lot of work to do, basically. You know, like, you just need to man up and accept the fact that sometimes you have to let other people know and lean on other people for help and guidance and reminders. If you can do that, then you're going to get better faster.
Right. Yeah, I've experienced that a few times because it gets in the way of your goals, like, super easily. I mean, I would say a lot of people have the goal of losing weight, like, even myself, and I'm a lean dude, like, I'm losing weight at this point in time, and even other, like, lean dudes that want to get leaner for the summer, like, they need to lose weight, and it's just a natural cycle. Like, there's going to be a point in your life where you want to lose weight. Now, how this affected me was that I would be very good throughout the week, like 5-6 days a week, I'd be on point, but then I go out and I wasn't intentional. There was no limits because it's like, oh, I've been good all week, so I'm gonna drink And I don't drink too much, and I stay on the lighter side of things. But what would happen is I would drink, and then it's like, oh, no, I have calories left for today. So I drink more. And then by then, my decision making would be so impaired that I would order, what are they called? Steak fries, carne asada fries. And then that's like, okay, 1,500 calories. I just reversed everything I just did that past week. Yep. And then you're caught in this cycle of, oh, yeah, I'm trying to lose weight. But then on the weekend, you think you're fine. I thought I was fine. But you're really not until you map everything out. And this is a weight loss lesson in itself. Is like, if you are not brutally aware of how much you are eating and how much you are losing in accordance to how much you are eating, it's not going to work out. And if you are not like hyper disciplined with eating the same thing every day, now, not like foods, but the same amount every day, then it's going to be impossible to know whether or not you're actually making progress because your weight may be going up and down. That's another thing I noticed is since I've been eating consistently these past 3 weeks or so, my weight like does not fluctuate. But when I have those days where I like drink and have a lot of food, even if I'm within my calorie range, like I could even post a picture, but I have like graphs because I weigh myself every day. It's like, for those watching on YouTube, like the graph is like insanely up, down, up, down, up, down on a slow, slow, slow downward scale. And now since I'm eating consistently and I eat the same thing every day, I don't really care. It's literally like a linear line. It's like I'm just eating the same thing every day. I'm doing the same thing every day. It's enjoyable, but the line goes straight down. And it's like, oh, this is actually what progress looks like. Right. And so now I'm aware of that. It's happened a few times in my life. I've been doing this shit for like 10 years. So I'm very aware of this stuff and I can pass it down. And while we're on this topic, we just redid a lot of MMHQ. It's even fucking better now compared to like what it was before, which was insane. By the way, Black Friday price is going up and we'll be having a crazy launch. So pay attention to that. Crazy, crazy deal to get access to everything. But we opened up a health and fitness dedicated channel in there. And it's surprisingly the most active channel right now. It's a big pillar in a lot of people's lives. So if you want to discuss health and fitness in a place that isn't shallow like Twitter or other social media and actually get deep help on that stuff, join there. Link in description. But that's how it kind of got in the way of my goals, right? It goes under your nose because you're so used to it. It's a normal thing, especially if the habit is built when you're in a gaining phase or you're not too conscious about like losing weight. It's very easy for those habits to come over and you think you're changing like the pillars and what is actually going to get you results, but then you're drinking and letting that spiral and you don't even fucking remember it. So you have no like metric for actually tracking that. It can turn sour really quick and then you'll just be wondering like, oh, what's the problem? But it's alcohol and it's really it.
One bad day can easily more than undo an entire week of effort. Like,
yeah,
if you just map it out where it's like, okay, somebody's cutting fat, a typical deficit, daily deficit is 500 calories. Okay, cool. Right. And then on a weekend day, you go out all day and you eat like 7,000 calories. And that may sound ridiculous, but it's pretty easy to do that between pizza and beer.
Pizza, beer, and eating. Your eating window is a lot longer. Like,
right.
If you eat normally throughout the day, and maybe you spare a few calories, but then you drink, and then, oh, at 9, you get a slice of pizza just because you're hungry and you're drunk and you're out with friends. And then at midnight, it's like, oh, shit, I'm hungry and I don't want to be hungover tomorrow. So I'm going to get some carne asada fries or a burrito. It adds up really fucking quick. And those like hyper greasy foods like Chipotle, a stacked burrito from Chipotle is like a little over 1,000 calories, possibly up to 1,500, depending on what you get. Now, you think about a burrito from one of those Mexican food stands that's just like every little thing is cooked in grease. That's like 2,500 calories, and then you increase that to like a carne asada fries or nachos, that's a fuck ton of calories, man. That's more than it like people can eat in a day. You shouldn't even eat that. Like, that's someone's entire caloric intake, and possibly more than that, just alone. And you're eating that when you go out and drink. It's kind of insane once you think it through.
Well, and then, you know, there's a lot of carbohydrates involved in there as well, so you're going to wake up and you're going to be starving.
Yeah. And I know there's something to do with, fats, because it's not able to be digested. Something I would encourage people to look this up, but like the dietary fat intake while you're drinking or on the days that you're drinking, it has much more of a negative effect. Forget exactly what it is, but people love to eat greasy foods when they're drinking, and that's just like another nail in the coffin. It's something's bad with it. Go and research that yourself. But yeah, so when you do drink, what I've had in my mind, again, don't know the exact reason, but you need to fill up on protein, carbs first, and kind of replace calories from dietary fat with calories from alcohol.
Yep.
So those are what can happen if you let things spiral out, and we are nuanced here. So let's talk about moderation, right? I used to be moderation and everything type guy. I'm slowly refining that to like, no, there's just some things that individuals need to cut out, and alcohol may be one of those for me. Again, we'll see. But in terms of moderation, how would you go about this? Because to me, like, one, you can moderate the amount that you drink at any given moment, and you can moderate how often you drink. So volume and frequency.
Right.
So for me, drinking once a week, if I could limit myself to 2 to 3 drinks, I don't think that would be much of a problem. I could probably track and limit that and monitor it. But then in terms of going all out and getting absolutely blasted, maybe once every 3 months. Like if I wanted to keep drinking at festivals, and festivals only happen like 2-3 months apart, I could see that working. But that's up to me to decide.
I think the best way to go about it is to be as intentional as possible. And especially when you first start out with this, it's going to seem really tedious and boring and like, I'm too smart for this. I shouldn't have to. Yeah, you're going to think that. But as long as you think that, you're going to keep making the same mistakes, basically. Yep. What I recommend is doing something along the lines of, okay, if I'm going to go out or I'm going to have a drink, limit myself to a drink per hour. And before I order another drink, I'm going to have at least 8 ounces of water. Now, if you're bigger or higher tolerance or whatever, you probably get away with 45 minutes if you want to. But I would just start with an hour. So I would do that. And I would also be realistic with what you're ordering. So not all drinks are created equal, right? So, you know, when I drink beer, I like to drink stouts, like pretty heavy flavor, like big body stouts, as opposed to Bud Light. A stout, okay, like probably my favorite beer is called Dragon's Milk. It's a bourbon barrel aged stout. It is like 12.4%, I think. So if I drink a 12-ounce bottle of that, then that is not only like 250-ish calories, but it's also 3 drinks. So you need to be honest with yourself, because you can't just be like, well, you know, I'm going to have a bottle of that, and then I'm going to drink water, and then an hour later I'm going to have another one, and I'm just going to do that for the rest of the night. Because you're having like 3x drinks every single time you have one. A standard drink is like a pint of either 12 ounces or 16 ounces of like regular beer, which is 4%, a 5-ounce glass of wine, or 1.5 ounces of typical liquor. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you make a bourbon drink, for example, and you make it a double. You make a double Jack and Coke. That's two drinks. It's not one, it's two. Just because it's in one glass or one bottle or one can doesn't mean that it's one drink. And I harp on that, not because I think that the listeners are stupid, but because I've made that mistake so many times where I've been like, oh, it's just one drink. Like, I'll go to a brewery and I'll order something like an IPA or a stout or something, and it's like 7-12%. Well, it's not one drink. And so if you're trying to be intentional, then you're accidentally missing things. It's like if you are eating, I don't know, ground beef or something, and you put in like 92-8, but you're actually eating 80-20, there is a massive amount of difference in calories there. Right?
Yeah.
And probably satiety as well. But there's going to be a huge difference. And so if you're like, well, I'm just going to have a 4-ounce hamburger for dinner, and it's only 200 calories because it's like the leanest ground beef I can possibly get, but you're actually eating 80-20, then you're having like probably 200 plus more calories, and that's going to impact your goals as well. So anyway, be intentional about it. If you have a problem with like driving after you drink or something, just give somebody your keys. Like, just don't even worry about it. I mean, you should Uber or something anyway, but make a plan in advance. If it's something that you have a problem with from time to time, make a plan in advance. Think about, what is the furthest that tonight could go? If you're just going up to a friend's for a drink and dinner and they go to bed early, okay, like, you're probably going to be fine. But if it's like, okay, like, these people have a track record where we say that we're going to hang out for an hour, but it turns into an all-nighter, plan on staying there, give somebody your keys, or Uber both ways. And Uber is way cheaper than some of the things that you're risking by driving after you drink. So what winds up happening is, with all this intentionality, you set up these fail-safes. And at first, when you start doing these things, it's going to feel weird. You're going to be like, man, like, I'm fine. Like, you know, I can break my rule. But what's going to happen is the same shit. And so you're going to get into a place where you're making an effort. You know that there's a problem. You're making an effort to fix the problem. But you are letting yourself down. Speaking from experience, there is no feeling worse than letting yourself down. Failing yourself, failing the things that you said you were going to do, that you know you can do, but you went back on your word to yourself. So just be as intentional as possible about it. You're going to fuck up occasionally. Everyone does. Nobody's perfect. But the more intentional you are, the higher rate of success you're going to have.
Yeah. That's the one thing that led to me making this decision to just go all in, is that I kept breaking my own rules. Like, I couldn't even trust my own word, and it would piss me off. So, like, there were multiple weekends where it's like, okay, going to a festival, going to drink, it's a one-time thing. And then the next weekend, it's like, oh, yeah, I have to go on this business trip to Vegas. And it's like, okay, I have a few drinks there, and then Vegas consumes you. And it would always happen the same way. It's like, it'd be a 3-day thing. I'd loosen up because that's what was expected of me for 2 days. And then the third day, I'd just be tired of it. It's like, okay, no, I've drank enough. I don't want to reset my progress any more than I have. And I wouldn't go. I wouldn't participate the third day. And same thing with Vegas. And then the next weekend, it's like, okay, another 3-day thing. We're going to drink all day. And it's like the third day, it's like, no, I'm fucking tired of this. And this last time, it finally hit me, like, this is the reason I'm not making goals. Like, hitting my goals. I had been so negligent or ignorant that it was alcohol that was stopping me from doing these things. And it's like, I wanted to overcorrect and still be able to make it a thing for me, but it just couldn't happen. And I feel much better knowing that that was the problem and that I have direct control over it. So yeah, that's the good thing about it. But one other thing I want to mention is that, like, when you're meeting people, so let's say you are out you approach someone, you're talking to a girl, and you're like, hey, let's get drinks later, because that's the common thing to ask people, right? And so you go, you get drinks, and you have two or three drinks. But then what I notice, especially for myself, is that the relationships start being built off of the drinks. The relationships, listen to that again, the relationships start being built off of the drinks. Because I've had multiple occasions where we go out for drinks the first night. Maybe we have like two, feel good, eat dinner, and we have two more. And at this point, you're like a goofball because you're buzzed or drunk and you're loosened up. And you start to open up to each other. And then that connection builds more. And then you go out for drinks the next time. So now you're drinking during the week, not only the times where you're drinking on the weekends, the quote unquote one time thing. But then with the relationship, it's like I noticed this twice where they straight up told me, like, I think that we like each other more when we're drunk. And when we're by each other, we don't fucking like each other. And right. So that has like opened my eyes a lot. It's like if you're building these relationships off of drinking, you might be fucking yourself over in the end.
That's so, extremely good point, because if you're somebody who drinks because of like social anxiety, like you said, it's liquid courage. Whether you're going out with a girl, going to the club, going to a festival, D&D with friends, whatever, and you're an uptight person like I can be sometimes, and you want to drink just to like loosen up a little bit. Okay, but if you're always doing that, then you're always going to feel like you have to, because you're going to be like, okay, well, this is just what I do to be the fun version of myself. Or, again, the associations with when there's an event, I drink. I go to a club, I go to the restaurant, I go play D&D, whatever, I drink. And so when you consider like not drinking, you're just not going to know. You're going to have doubt that you're going to be able to handle the situation in a fun way. Because we always think about like, oh, I want to be fun for others, for my friends. But then for the first few times when you go out without drinking at all, you're going to feel kind of awkward because you're not going to be used to it, right? So it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because you're kind of overthinking it and you think that you have to have that alcohol. Like, you're not used to being social without that lubricant there. And so you kind of have to push through it and get over it, which doesn't really take that long unless you're an extremely heavy drinker. I bet most people listening to this aren't. But so it doesn't really take you that long. It's just kind of uncomfortable. But the hard truth of all this stuff is that making better decisions for ourselves and the people we care about and the future often involves discomfort. And that sounds like a cliche, but it's true. The things that benefit us in the long term often are uncomfortable in the short term. Changing ourselves is inherently uncomfortable because our brain is wired to find what feels good and keep doing it. And so when it finds things that feels good, like alcohol, and then you try to steer it away from those things that feel good, it resists that. And so you have this cognitive dissonance where you're basically fighting yourself. But in reality, the battle is for yourself, as Csikszentmihalyi said in Flow. You know, you're not fighting against yourself. You're fighting for yourself and your future.
Yeah. That's fucking good.
If you're aware that discomfort is going to come, like you're going to have these battles, the awareness of the battles makes it a lot easier because you're like, okay, I was expecting this. But if you're just like, yeah, I'm going to go into it, it's going to be fine, it's going to be perfectly, like, you know, I'm going to go to this, I'm going to have a great time, and I'm going to be talkative and fun and outgoing and not going to worry about shit, you're going to get blindsided. And then you're going to be like really off to everybody else. People are going to be like, are you okay? Like, you're not drinking and you're being weird. Like, what's going on here? Right. So yeah. Then like they start overthinking what's going on with you, because here's another thing that we could lead into is it's all fun and games until you say, no, I'm not drinking.
Right.
Like, if you go out into a social situation with some people, not everybody, thankfully, but if you go out and people are like, oh, you want a drink? And you're like, no, I'm good. People are like, some people are like, what?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Right.
I know you've experienced that, and I have as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, like, really off-putting to some people. But if you have those issues where people in your social groups are really bothered by you not drinking or you not eating fast food or you not doing things that go against your values or your future, then are they really your friends? Are they really right. people that you should keep being around?
Damn,
you want
bro.
Different things. It doesn't mean that they're bad people. It just means that what they want for themselves and what you want for yourself isn't aligned. So you can either find a compromise in there or just kind of slow fade out and go your own way.
Damn, bro. Hitting deep on a Wednesday. Holy shit. But I want to take the time to emphasize the importance of awareness and environment and awareness of your environment. So awareness, like I've noticed this when I've been titling these podcasts and like my editor's been editing them. We've talked about awareness like for the past like 5 episodes. And one, it's because awareness is fucking important. It's one of the most important things because all self-improvement stems from awareness. And you, if you are unaware of these things, because there is so much you're unaware of, like you can become aware of things that are like directly within your control. But I didn't become aware of alcohol being the problem for years. Like it took me that long. So hopefully this podcast can help accelerate that awareness. That's what we're here for. Literally all social media is just like awareness. It's like, that's what we're doing. We're spreading awareness. And you have to be open to that. And you have to become aware of it yourself and then be able to do that. So now awareness of your environment. The same thing I said with relationships goes for non-romantic relationships. If you're friends with your college buddies who you met drinking, and then you drink every weekend in college, and then you're still buddies after college, and your relationship is built off of drinking when you meet up with them, that is going to be a difficult challenge when you decide to stop drinking. And it requires you to do some inner reflection and be brutally honest with yourself and possibly take on some pain that you'll have to overcome. So just some things to think about, and even more importance to go and listen to our last podcast, the last Wednesday podcast, where we talk about goals and clarity on your goals. And we talk about intrinsic drive a lot, and it's just a good thing to do. So the other thing about environment is like just having it around you, right? And putting yourself into those areas, because you can be as dead set as you want on not drinking in a specific situation, but if there is heavy alcohol involved, it's like you may not be fully in control of your own actions when you are surrounded by so many people. Like it's a difficult situation to navigate, and there's so many different things going on there that could sway your opinion. I've experienced this.
Yeah, and an important point about that, you know, with the importance of environment is, especially when you're around people, you may give in or just decide like, hey, I'm going to have a drink or I'm going to have a few, but I'll be responsible. And then sometimes you're going to beat yourself up for that, especially if you take a binary streak based approach, like don't break the chain. I know that that's a popular like habit tracking method, but yet again, speaking from experience with eating and exercise and drinking, that backfires, because if you have like a 30-day streak and then you break it, you can very easily get into the mindset of like, well, you know, I'm off it for now, so I'm just going to enjoy it. I had this happen to me all the time when I was doing low carb a few years ago, because I would have a cheat day or an event where I would need to eat some carbs, and I would be like, well, okay, you know, I broke the streak, but I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm going to have these things that I enjoy over the next couple of days, and then I'll get back on it. But usually getting back on it doesn't really happen. So you need to take, you need to zoom out a little bit and look at the average success. So I have like a spreadsheet. I'm a spreadsheet guy. I track some things, some of my habits in spreadsheets, so I can zoom out and see the bigger picture of like, okay, am I trending upward? Is my success rate increasing over time, or is it decreasing? Did I have negative streaks? Did I have positive streaks? Like, how did I handle these individual situations? And I can like remember those and take notes of these situations and be like, okay, well, I went off a couple times here, but was that a little more justified? Or did I just binge eat two frozen pizzas by myself for absolutely no reason? I've never done that because I can't eat that much at one time. But that's just the kind of example where if you focus purely on the number of straight days where you've had success, you're going to, you may be more likely to fall off the path for a longer period of time because you're like, well, I broke it. I'm going to enjoy it and then I'll get back to it. And then that doesn't happen for a long time.
Yeah. I like to think of it as, for my developers out there, like Git commits. You know how there's like that little like graph and it's like the green dots. And there's like light green if you didn't commit that much, or there's dark green when you did a lot of work. And like at the start, it starts out, it's like, okay, I have a streak of 5 days. Then you miss a day and you get back on it and you do full green. And like over time, you just have this big graph of like, yes, here's what I did. And a lot of people won't understand that, but what Joey says stands. So to end this, we can talk about how to, like, a good way, some good metrics to follow when drinking alcohol. So to start there, for those that do not know this, this is very, it's not super practical. You're not going to use this very much, but it's good to know. So 1 gram of fat, dietary fat, a macronutrient. There's carbs, fats, proteins, and alcohol. Those are your macronutrients. 1 gram of fat is 9 calories. 9. 1 gram of carbs is 4 calories. 1 gram of protein is 4 calories. 1 gram of alcohol is 7 calories. So when you think of that, and let's say you order a cocktail, you get around like 80 to 90 calories from a shot of alcohol. You also have whatever sugary shit is inside there, and however extravagant they make the cocktail, could be a lot of calories.
Yep.
So my go-to when and if I drink, and I mean, you guys know how much this alone has been a problem for me, is just vodka soda, vodka Tito's. I mean, vodka, Tito's soda. And so the general recommendation in the health space is like, okay, yeah, if you're going to go out and enjoy yourself and have a few drinks, you want to stay on the low calorie end. So that usually consists of some form of liquor, because liquor is just a shot. It's very condensed. And then either soda water, water, diet soda, something similar to that. So like a Jack and Coke, which would probably be like 200-300 calories, you put Diet Coke in there, it's 80 calories, right? Yep. It's a good way to think about it. So that's my main recommendation. And then of course, like starting off slow, because what I did, it's like a habit from being a party animal in college, is like I'd slam 4 drinks immediately to get to a certain point. And then like from there, I'm already impaired. So like I'm just drinking more and more and more, but just start off slow. Like I think you said this, Joey, but like within an hour, have like 3 drinks. If you're planning on actually getting drunk. And then once you're at a good space, then it's like a drink every hour or something to maintain that and keep it going. Not just getting belligerent within the first 2 hours of drinking and then passing out 3 hours into the actual event. So decent way to go about it. Anything to add on to that, Joey?
One thing that I forgot to mention earlier is alcohol is diuretic, which means it makes you pee a lot. a lot more than you normally would. Basically signals your liver, I believe it is, to release more urine, either liver or kidneys. Can't remember off the top of my head, but you pee more, and that flushes out more nutrients. So one of the big causes of hangovers, one of the big reasons why you feel hungover after a night of drinking a lot, is you've depleted micronutrients, so sodium, potassium, and magnesium. And if you do that frequently, it can start causing other issues like heart palpitations. You can start getting an irregular heartbeat because of these nutrients. So definitely drink your water and eat something hopefully nutritious. The water part doesn't help with the nutrients. It actually hurts the situation a little bit, but definitely eat something healthy and appropriate. And then you can't really go wrong with taking like a Diet Powerade or Diet Gatorade or something with you, or make up a big bottle of water that has some micronutrients in it. You can look up something called snake juice, which is something you can make at home and get the ingredients of. We were talking about it in MMHQ for fasting the other day. But if you keep those nutrients going, then you'll feel a lot better the next day too.
Yeah. My favorite has always been and will be coconut water. I just love coconut water. I believe that has a lot of electrolytes. And then I use like Redmond's Real Salt. I've been salting everything up recently. It's either Redmond's Real Salt or Celtic Sea Salt. I do not fucking care about salt intake because yep. I'm active and it's good and it keeps you hydrated. Yep. But not table salt. Fuck that shit.
Nope.
In moderation. Whatever. But overall, dude, I'm honestly swaying more towards like long, long, long breaks from this, if anything. We'll see where it goes, but I don't know. The energy is unmatched that I've been feeling lately, and it just takes that one time to like feel somewhat like shit, get used to it, and then slowly, gradually start feeling lower and lower energy. And it's like, I don't want that. But then if you start, you just become less and less aware over time, and you don't have the motivation to keep things going. So we'll see where things go. But I think this is a good podcast that spreads awareness, and we continue on the path to mastery. So if you
one more thing I would like to say about that, a recent realization that I had is, you know, going back to thinking about consequences or not considering consequences. If your baseline, and we talked about this when I was out in Arizona visiting you last week, but if your baseline energy, mental clarity, mood is low, then when you do something like binge drink or binge eat or whatever, you're not really going to notice the effects, and therefore you're not going to think about it. You're just going to be like, well, I'm going to feel like shit anyway. Like, I always feel like garbage, so it doesn't really matter. Whereas if your baseline is relatively high, take good care of yourself, you get enough sleep, you hydrate, eat well, then when you do something like that, it hits you. Like, you wake up the next day and you feel like trash, and you're like, oh shit, I don't feel good, and I know why, right? So my point is, if you're at a spot where you haven't been taking good care of yourself and your baseline is low, then when you do drink, you're not really going to think about the consequences of drinking more. But as you start to make better decisions and improve yourself and raise your baseline, then you're going to think about it, and you're actually going to think about it going into a situation like, okay, like, do I want to let loose tonight? Like, I got a call tomorrow. I got a podcast. I got to write some stuff in the morning. I got to email, some tweets to write. Like, I got coaching calls to do, you know, like, I got to. And when you have stuff like that that you got to do, and you know that you're going to get impeded by drinking, then you start to question it, and then that further reinforces you making better decisions. I think about it as basically having like a narrow band or a wide band of states of being, basically. If you, like I said, if you always feel like crap, you have a narrow band. Therefore, like, if you make a good decision one day or a bad decision, it doesn't really affect you too bad. But if you have a wide band and a high baseline, then that one decision can actually affect you a lot. So those decisions mean a lot more to you, and that further reinforces you consistently making better decisions.
Yeah. I really like the way you put that. It's so, so, so important. And I would add on to that by saying, just like I wrote this in one of my ebooks and I'm writing it in my book now, but just like the power of having a project to work on, right? Because we do this stuff like full time. This is our thing. And the thing with others is like the lifestyle they have in the morning may be fulfilling, may not be, but then like, especially if it's unfulfilling, they don't give a shit if they have something to do in the morning. Like if you have to work and your work doesn't really require much brain power, or you can scrape by doing it and it's under someone else's time and it's under like they are the ones that assign value to it and you just don't really care, then it doesn't matter to you. So that's the thing. It's like you need projects, high potential profitability projects that will like give you something important to work on. Like it's just having something, you need to create something that's more important than your life, than going out and drinking. You need to, and it has to be important to you. That's the main thing, is like if it's not important to you, then alcohol is going to rank higher in importance at that time. So something to think about, something we'll probably cover multiple times in this podcast.
And you need to have long-term desires that are more important to you than your short-term desires.
Yeah, intrinsic desires, as opposed to that
tomorrow morning.
There you go. But Joey, thanks for coming on, man. I think this podcast was fucking great.
And yeah, I think it'll be great. I mean, I'll be a new man by the time we have our next one. I think
next podcast,
maybe. Sometime in the next like 2 or 3.
Oh, new. Okay, yeah. I get you. I'm like, what are you talking about? But yes. All right. So other plugs. Okay. One, I'll let you in on a little secret of Black Friday. So my main course, my legacy course, Modern Mastery, I mean, the Modern Money Bundle with 3 courses. One of those courses, High Ticket Essentials, which is like basic freelancing and coaching, understanding the business model and how to sell your skills for thousands of dollars, right? That has already been uploaded to MMHQ. It's free inside of there. We also added Joey's legacy course, Habits Made Simple, which is fucking perfectly in line with what we talked about today and how to cut out bad habits and create good ones. That is now free in MMHQ. My other 2 courses from that bundle will be going into MMHQ for free to get everyone up to speed so you can dive into the advanced topics faster. We are also starting roadmaps, which will be taking all of the hundreds of resources we have in there and creating somewhat of courses out of them, like structuring them so you can go through them. So if you wanted to start email marketing, there will be a roadmap on that. For Black Friday, that is the main thing. I'll also be giving another course on top of that for free if you join during that promotion, and I'll give it to everyone inside, so even if you join earlier. But the price for MMHQ is also going up by 50%. So if you want to lock in the insanely low price today, literally someone on our call today, we had a live training about how to land your first client. The recording is up in MMHQ. But he was saying, like, when he watched the video to join, he's like, oh, man, I'm going to have to pay $50 a month for this. And then he scrolled down to the bottom, and it was $10. And he's like, oh, shit. And then he joined, and it's, like, overwhelming. Yeah, we're charging way too little for this. So Black Friday or Cyber Monday is when the price is going to increase. And if you want to lock in the rate, you should probably join. And I'm sorry for that long promo. There's probably going to be an end credit with another promo, so bear with us. But Mastery Program, people are killing it. As we said last week, from October to November, someone closed $22,000 in sales for his coaching business. And the next cohort for that is starting January 1st. So if you want to get on the wait list for that to get an early bird discount, there's also another link in the description. So with that, you should probably just fucking join and get your shit together in life and business. And I mean, make a lot of money and enjoy life.
You have access to an incredible community, which includes Dan and myself, there to help you with any questions that you have. So, yeah.
It's too good, man. And as others were saying, I think like maybe every 2 months we're just going to increase the price to a specific point, because it's getting a little too good at this point. Like $10 is fucking nothing. I'm kind of getting upset about it, but whatever. Yes. Thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you in the next one. Deuces.
See y'all. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to that episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast. I have a few favors to ask you. For a whopping $0, you can support this podcast by following, rating, and subscribing on whichever platform you are listening on. For an additional $0, you can share this podcast and tag us at Modern Mastery on Twitter or at Modern Mastery HQ on Instagram. This helps the Modern Mastery community grow and allows me to bring you top-tier guests to fuel your hunger for wisdom. It costs $0, but it does cost you your time, and we understand how valuable that can be. Lastly, if you are trying to build a one-person business as a content creator, coach, freelancer, digital product creator, or online educator, consider joining Modern Mastery HQ that has hundreds of proven processes, strategies, and systems that you can copy and paste into your life and business to become a highly paid, free, and fulfilled individual. Go to join.modernmastery.co/podcast to get your first month for $5 and gain instant access to 4 beginner legacy courses, hundreds of trainings and strategies, and a community of growth-minded individuals, because quite frankly, your friends and family just don't understand this kind of stuff. With that, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Modern Mastery Podcast, and I'll see you in the next one.